Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. After some congregational singing, you will hear a worship service and Bible teaching.
Yes, well, here we are, and we're not going to get bogged down in that. Anyway. We're going to talk about God's prescription for worship, but let's sing some worship hymns. Let's take for example, let's go to this first number 89 now to enter into worship, and that is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Hymn number 89. About worship, let's turn to number 13. Oh, worship the King, number 13.
Oh, worship the King, all glory. Light
back and listen to this interesting passage that has to do with God's prescription for our worship. And it goes like this. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples, they were gone away from into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and he said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well? And drank himself, or thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, well, go call thy husband, and come here, hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, that the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he was talking with this woman. Yet no man saith, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and she went away into the city, and she saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayeth, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of God, the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then behold the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto the harvest. May God bless the reading of this passage and perhaps the explanation of the matter of worshiping in spirit and in truth. Will you join with me in singing another hymn, Holy, 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 number 87? Heavenly Father, we come this morning, and as you have encouraged us to come and to seek your face early in the morning. And so here we are, and we pray that our time will be of such that you'll be pleased, first of all, and that your Holy Spirit, the Holy Guest, would work in our hearts, each of us, and then collectively. And that we might understand, that we might be able to put aside our plans for the week, or even for the rest of this day, and center our attention upon Thee, Lord, and that it may indeed be God-centered service. Thank you for these hymns that we believe that bring glory and honor and praise to you, and our Father, receive them. And so we ask you would continue to work in each of our lives. We do pray for your Spirit's blessing, especially in the matter of salvation and in sanctification, and that there would be the operation in that both realms, those who know not Christ savingly and those who know Christ, that they be sanctified even more. And our Father, we are asking for your plan, that we might do it, what you have for each of us. You created us, and you have a plan for us. We pray that we might so fit in, that we might receive the commendation that you will say to us, well done, thou faithful and good servant, to enter into rest. And our Father, Some of us are getting up in years where we see our work is being completed, and we ask that we might be able to stand before the unashamed. And then, our Father, we're just grateful for taking care of us. When we hear of people that are in need, especially we hear people who know not Christ, need the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that there be a continuing of the gospel throughout the world. And then we know of folk who have need physically, they're hungry. And Lord, you've taken care of us, and the whole world's not like it is here. And so, our Father, we pray for your blessedness, your favor upon the unrighteous, and long as it was with us, that, Lord, you'd look upon them and that they might hear the good news concerning Christ. And then, our Father, we know that we have problems. If we know ourselves, we know what the inherent sin is, the old nature. And our Father, we pray that as you bring it to our attention, that we might confess our sins. And Lord, that we will receive forgiveness as you look upon us as children, and that we can call upon you affectionately, our Father. We ask again, our Father, that you would lead us and strengthen us about this week. And Father, that we might do that which will please you. Once again, we're asking for your presence and blessing upon us, not only here, but also your people everywhere. And we pray for our country. We're grateful for it is, but we see how that, Lord, they're asking that you be removed from the presence and the teachings. We ask, Lord, that there be an overriding and working and a revival of your people first, and then throughout the country. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'll sing later, Robert. Thank you. I want to get into this subject this morning. If you will turn to the Gospel of John. It doesn't hurt, even though you are dramatic, to tell some personal things. Germans, they kind of keep things to themselves. But last Tuesday, I had some animals I had to take to the auction in Middleburg, and my wife needed something at a store that not able to get around here, and so stopped at this place at Hummel's Wharf or Seelands Grove, and I'm waiting there in the car. And I saw this lady, she went in a store and then she came out and she heard some of the animals and she said, "What do you have?" I said, "Well, I have some." And she said, "Well, I can hear them." So she wanted to see them. So I showed her and I noticed that she had a certain accent. And so I said to her, which I normally do anyway about spiritual matters, and she brightened up tremendously. She was about a middle-aged woman, brightened up really, sparkled at him. And she said, "I am a father of Yeshua." And I said, "Oh, well, that's..." I said, "I'm glad to hear that." Yeshua is the name of Christ, Hebrew name. He was never called Christ when he walked on this earth. He was called Yeshua. And so they used that. And I said, "I know where you're coming from, Messianic Jews." And she said, "Yes." And she said, I said, "Well, where do you meet together?" And she said, "Well, I don't, but I follow a teaching of a man on the radio." And she asked me if I knew that man. I said, "No, I don't know him." And then she began to elaborate. I wish you were there. She really began to elaborate. She was loaded for bear when Harry let me get in a word edgeways. And she was telling me about how they believe things. And she was telling how they participate in all the Jewish festivals, the Passover, the Seder, and all these things. Blow the horns. noisy things. And she was just telling about how wonderful. And I noticed that she had this a certain color of dress and so forth. And she wasn't Amish. And she said, I wear my clothes according to colors. And she said, the blue dress I wear is Jewish, and the white has to do, the tassel here, she said, has to do that I'm a follower of Yeshua. I said, oh, well, I understand that too. And so the thing that surprised me, she said, well, where are you from? I said, well, Muncie, near the mall. Oh, she said, I was born and raised in the Muncie Hills. My father owned a farm. I said, well, Muncie Hills, I can see him from my house. And my wife also has come from the bottom of the Muncie Hills. I said, where? She told me. And I thought to myself, isn't that something? Here we are. She's a non-Jew, and she's a member of the Messianic Jews. And she's using all the Jewish ceremonies and the whole thing. Born and raised around here. So I tried to get some words in, and I did. I just had to almost be impolite and crowding her out. And she said, well, you know, I'm not supposed to be really talking to you anyway. And I said, oh, well, how's that? She said, well, I'm not to be teaching another man. I said, we're not in church. In church, I agree to that. Women ought to be teaching men. And so I said, dear lady, did you ever read the book of Hebrews? I did tell her that. Did you ever hear that Christ fulfilled all those ceremonies? Did you ever hear that those feast days back there were shadows? Here's the cross, and the sun shines down, and all those things were shadows, and they're done because we have Christ? Yeah! Didn't pay attention. Didn't pay attention like some of you when you come here. Come on now, I sat there. I'm planning my week. I'm planning today. I heard the preacher before. I don't know that he's going to tell me. Been there, had that, received that. Listen, this is so important that if I don't accomplish anything else as far as this church goes to show you that the Bible does have a prescription for worship, and that's what he wants us to do. I had a young man here some years ago after servicing. He said, hey, I want to ask you something. I said, yeah, go ahead. He said, why don't the people raise their hands? How come you folk don't get excited here? What? He said, you don't get excited. And so I tried to explain to him. Well, he went to church in Williamsport. Charismatic. Jumping up and down and repetitious singing. Dancing, drums. I know of the church. In fact, an acquaintance of the church is an elder there, and one time he was a boss of mine, and I know what they do. I thought, well, he left here and he went there. Where is he now? Nowhere. What? Nowhere. Is he against God? Oh, no. No. Don't get that undyed idea. But it's just not important to worship. He's had this type of worship. He's had that kind of worship. And it just doesn't do anything. By the way, we had Messianic Jews visit us here in this church years ago. So I was familiar with them a little bit. Well, I just want to say this to you, verse 23 and 24. You'd better remember this. If you don't get anything else, just say, well, I got that. And that's what he was trying to say. What? Verse 23 and 24 of John's Gospel 4. For the Lord Jesus is speaking, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he says to her, the hour cometh, it's coming. But it's also now is. That when the true worshipers, true worshipers, do you think you're a true worshiper? True worshipers shall worship the Father how? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. He's seeking such people. Well, we're to seek the Lord. He said, I'm seeking you. That you be a true worshiper and you listen to me and take my prescription seriously. Worship me in spirit and worship me in truth. For verse 24 says, got to remember, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You say, well, that's pretty, that isn't real clear. We need to look at it a little bit. Do you think that true worship is loud, emotional, repetitious, tambourines, big band, little choruses over and over and over and over and over and over again? Has some artificial smoke? Jump up and down, do some dancing? You say, well, I don't know where anybody does that. Well, if you don't know that they do that in this area, you need to wake up. Well, I know of churches that they have pomp, very pompous, and they have ceremony. And the preacher, he dresses professionally. He has a clerical collar on, and he has a clerical robe on. And they have confession, and it's very stately. They have a nice organ. And when you come to church, you hear a recitation of the organ. It's and it's beautiful, done professionally, played by notes, not by ear. You say, well, that sounds like a real worship. Some of us have come from that background. Yep. You sure you have it right? You know, it's easy to worship in the realm of the eyes and not by faith. What I see. Can you imagine these Jewish, right here, John 4. Can you imagine this lady up on a mountain and they have worship up in the Mount Gerizim, and it's where Jacob was, and it's really, it's really quite a service. And then there's a place called Mount Zion down in Jerusalem. And the Jews are saying, if you want to worship, Jerusalem is the place. The Samaritan says, oh no, up here's the place. If you want to worship, you got to go to this place or that place. It's places. Some of you still say, where is a certain church? And you say, down the road on the left-hand side, 2 miles down the road. That's just a building. A church is people, but I know we just call it a church. We don't speak properly. Church is people, not mortar and bricks. But that's the way we are. But listen, can you imagine a person that come to know Christ as Savior, like this lady did? No longer go to those beautiful places where they have sacrifices and blood and they have all these festivals and weeks of enjoyment and excitement and so forth. Beautiful place, beautiful cathedral like the temple. Just lovely with all kinds of icons and professional rabbis. And now where are they going to church? Somebody's house. Boy, what a letdown. Somebody's house. What do they do there? Well, they read the scriptures and they sing some. And there's some prayers. And there may be a baptism. And there's the observing of the Lord's Supper. No pictures? No. No, really. Excitement, just the preaching of the Word of God, and some singing. What a letdown. Like this lady. I tried to explain to her, listen, lady, that's old covenant. We're now in a new covenant. And we need to see that there's a change. And I tried to explain to her about the regulative principle, and she never heard of that. And some of you never heard of the regulative principle. And that is, we follow as New Testament churches what is in the New Testament way. Not using all the Old Testament covenants. I never heard of that either. Regulative principles of worship. If you think that you've arrived, I don't know. I'm a little bit worried that may I leave the place and you don't even know how to worship. I have kinfolk that are in the charismatics. And they're hoop-de-doo. And they were here. So don't pay attention. You're going to stand before God as well as I am. And you're going to say, where were you? Didn't that preacher ever talk to you about what true worship? Didn't he ever tell you that there's a prescription that I give and you're supposed to take it religiously as you religiously take those prescriptions from your medical doctor? Whew. No, I didn't know that. You'll give an account. So was I. So will I. In fact, my account is going to be greater this day, the scripture says. And so in a little house church, there may be some emphasis about going out to the world and tell about Jesus Christ. Yes. Maybe take some offering. Yeah. But just no incense, no artificial smoke, nothing like that. No tambourines, nothing. Now, I want to use an illustration. Bob, you may need your help. I read this. I don't know if I can put it together right. That, and here's a train buff. There's the engine, there's the coal car, there's the passenger or the service cars, and there's the caboose. Well, I know that. Well, some of you may be young enough, you don't know all those good things. The engine is first. The facts. If you don't have the engine and the power of God, you've got nothing as far as a train. Yeah, well, I can see that. And you need that coal car. That's fuel to run that engine. That the need of the Word of God. What's a prescription? In spirit and in truth. The truth is the Word of God. You need the Word of God. Now, those passenger cars or whatever whatever is hauling, especially passenger cars, is that we need people to go and serve the Lord and talk about Jesus Christ. Listen, if you don't talk about the Lord Jesus in your daily walk, it probably is that you really don't know the Lord, or else you don't know what he's trying to tell you to do. This matter of worshiping the Lord is not just for Sunday. It's easy to come to church, sit proper, sing some hymns, listen to scriptures, and go out and live the rest of the week any way like you used to do. No, we're to be new creatures in Christ. And if you don't talk about the Lord during the week, you better question whether you really love the Lord. You're to love him with your whole heart, mind, and soul. And if you're not talking about the Lord Jesus during the week, something's wrong. Now, what about that caboose? I've often inquired about the caboose. And the many of the workers, they go long distances, and they stayed with the train all the way. But they had to have some place to sleep. And they had a place they would sleep there. There would be a stove there. And to make it more home-like, they would bring some things home, maybe some pictures. That's feelings. There is need for emotions in religion. But it needs to be, first of all, by way of the facts of this whole thing. Judge by the facts. The mind. Let your renewed mind, our mind after Jesus Christ. There needs to be some emotions. The loving the Lord, loving one another. What a subject. What a subject. What about God? Some of you still think that God is a man. The good man upstairs, the good man, he looks down upon me. I must be doing something right. The good man looking with down on favor. God is not a man. God is a spirit. Woo. Do you know that? You're to worship him in the realm of what he is. He's a spirit. Now this spirit, now this woman, you see, here she is. And you can be critical if you want to, but it's probably more like people than you think. Oh, no, I not like that. Now, wait a minute. Thought, word, and deed. Be careful. You get sanctimonious. And I would never think of doing such a thing like that. Just be careful. You can't kid the Lord. He's in the realm of the Spirit. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Here she is. And the Lord, he's there by the well. Here she comes. She comes when there are no other women around. I know why. Some women would be a hen fight. Now, I have a high regard for women. I do that. My mother taught me, and I have real respect for them. But today they are wrestling, they're boxing, they're doing man's work, and they're being toughies, and they're being military, and that's not what the Bible teaches. Oh, there you go, you're being prejudiced. No, that's what the Bible teaches. You're to be home buddies. Well, we can't afford if we don't have, we have to have two jobs. Talking to a young man yesterday, he said, I have two jobs, and I'm a student at Penn College. And he says, I work here on my Saturdays. Two jobs, goes to college, and works at a place on Saturdays. Well, good for him. So if you think that life's so tough, maybe you ought to look at other people other than yourself, so they're looking in the mirror all the time. But this lady here, she comes. And when the other women aren't there, let's look at it. And the Lord says, would you give me a drink? And she said, well, we don't have anything to do with you Jews. And there was feelings. There's feelings. There's feelings today. I don't want anything to do with people like that. No way. And so the Lord answered. He said, well, I'll tell you this. Since you have no feelings and you're part of that group, that you're Samaritan and you think you have the right way. He said to her, verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, lady, and who it is that saith unto thee, verse 10, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, of him, and he would have given thee living water. Well, now, what's living water? Well, they didn't have it over there like we have it. Go 200 yards that way, and you have a creek. Go about the same that way, and you have another creek who's in the river. That's living water. Clean, you say, clean, fresh water. And she said, there's no living water like that. We got a deep well. Jacob dug. He said, and if you would have asked him, he would have given you the living water. Now, you may not appreciate that, but if you lived in this kind of a country, you'd say, boy, that is beautiful, have running water like that. Well, the woman saith to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. From whence then hast thou this that living water? Where's this living water you're talking about? She said, in fact, the matter is, are you greater than our father? Verse 12, Father Jacob, he's the one who gave us this well. And, you know, he drank him there of himself and his children and his cattle, livestock. And then Jesus answers, and he saith unto her, whosoever drinketh of the water, of this water, shall thirst again. Take a drink of Jacob's water here. You'll get thirsty. Tomorrow you have to come. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up until into everlasting life. Wouldn't you be interested if you live in a hot country with boiling heat down upon you at noontime. And somebody's talking like that, living water, fresh water, nice, clear, cool water. She said, well, sir, verse 12, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. She wasn't quite ready yet. God says there's need for repentance, Holy Ghost repentance. Some people have never repented of their sins. Oh, I'm not so bad. I've been a pretty good boy. Yeah. Went to school. I worked hard. I got a German background. I'm all right. Don't worry about me. Yeah, well, go ahead. If you've never repented of your sins, you're never going to get to heaven. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, friends, no other way. Yes, you got to learn something about repentance. Godly sorrow. Not just January the 1st, I'm not a new leaf. No, godly sorrow. And she needed this. And so he pulls one on her that blows her away. He said, verse 16, you just go call your husband and come hither. And she answered and said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, that's right. that's well said. You have no husband. But I'll tell you this. You've had five of them, and you're living with one right now. He's not your husband. In that thou sayest that you said truly. And she said, wow. 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 Found me out. I'm a sinner. Some people have never found out they're sinners. They've been to a ceremonial church, and they sat there, and they sang some hymns, and they had nice little play of music, and they heard the sermon, and they walked out the door, and they're a member of the church. Oh, they're just wonderful people. They give a little money. Oh, wonderful, wonderful people. Did the Lord ever speak to you about your need of forgiveness of sins? Have you broken the commandments? No! Well, how about in spirit? Now, don't get down on me. We've all done that. We've all sinned. Yeah, all right. If we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, then let's go on, preacher. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. You can tell us things like that. She changes it. Throws him a curve. I want to get out of this one. It's getting too close. I have five husbands and living with a guy now I'm not even married to. I've got to get out of this shape. And so she throws one at him. She said, well, you know, our fathers, they worship, verse 20, in this mountain. But you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. So she changed the subject. Well, then, where shall we worship? Where is the true place of worship? Is it down in Jerusalem or up here at Mount Gerizim? Where is it? Straighten me out. What's the true worship? If you know so much. And he said, lady, look at verse 21. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh and is now, and when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That's true. For the hour cometh, and now is that true worshipers shall worship a Father. And what realm? I'm going to church, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to listen. Be a good boy. Be a good girl. Yeah, do that. But on the other hand, remember this. God's looking for true worshipers. Yeah, not some phonies. True worship, not some hypocrites. True worshipers, verse 23, shall worship a Father in the realm of spirit, in the spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Boy, listen to that. He said, I want people to come to worship that are genuine. This phony stuff that they pull and think they're all right because they've done it for years are going through the motions. Raise your hands, put your hands together, clap for the Lord, and let's have a dancing good time here. Let's sing some giddy songs and say repeat it all over again. And the preacher does all kinds of dumb things. And that's worship. No, that isn't it either. What is worship then? Well, hang in there. What does he say then? True worshipers, those who worship the Father in the realm of spirit, for God is a spirit. Yes, I know that. Verse 24. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And she said, well, I can tell you this. I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he comes, he'll tell us all things. She's getting the picture. Lovely. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he, I am the Messiah. And upon this came his disciples. I want to tell you something. Did you ever hear of salvation? A born-again experience? It's just marvelous. New creature in Christ. A second birth. Nicodemus, come on, tell these people what it means to be born again. That's what happened to this lady. She received the living water. Eternal life. The Spirit of God operated upon this lady to such an extent that this is what happened. So they came and they said, what's going on here? You're not supposed to be talking to Samaritan women. Said, don't you talk that way to my Lord. And so they kept their mouths shut. They thought it. But she went downtown. She got so excited, verse 28, dear friends. She left her water pots and she went her way into the city and she said to the men, I want you to come and see a man. He told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Messiah? Is not this the Christ? And so they said, well, if this old lady talks like that, something's happened. I guess we better go out and see what's going on around here. And so these folk, they did this. And he said, wow, isn't this something? And they came on to him. The disciples were saying, come on, eat something. And they saw him coming. He said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 33, therefore saith the disciples, wondering, hath any man brought him some aught to eat? And Jesus said unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then he tells about the harvest. Down to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city, they believed on him, for the sayings of the women which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said this, they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And after 2 days, he departed. God worked in that situation marvelous. Oh, man. In the realm of spirit and the realm of truth, she became a born-again person. And she got excited about her salvation. She went and told all these men. I tell you, to be genuine, to talk about the Lord Jesus and our sins. God is a spirit, and he's zealous. He's looking. Who's looking? God's looking for what? True worshipers, not hypocrites, not phonies, but true worshipers who worship me in the realm of spirit. It comes through my mind. I've been born again. I want to please him. It goes based upon the word of God. And it may be a house with no incense, no pictures, and no excitement, so to speak. But when the word of God is given, those who love the word of God do get excited, if no one else but the preacher. It's exciting to hear the word of God. If it's not, something's wrong. This lady got excited. She was born again. How we need preaching. The truth. What, Lord? What's the prescription? To worship in the spirit, not emotionalism. Now, there can be some emotions. not based upon emotionalism. I don't know how to really explain that anymore, but in a lot of churches, it's just emotionalism. Mass psychology. Hoop-de-doo. People love it. Crowds are following it. Whereas in the realm of the spirit, it's going by way of the mind, renewed mind of Christ, the mind of Christ in what we do, spiritually speaking. It's spiritual. By the Spirit of God changing us, saving us. And then, in the realm of truth. I want to say this a little bit about a very highly controversial matter. Might as well get ready for it. It seems that most everywhere we're going now, we have CC. What's CC? Contemporary Christian music. Yep. Yep. Even Reformed churches. Yep. You know, I'm a Doctrines of Grace man, but if you just go to Reformed church and all they do is, it's just truth, 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 truth. It's the Doctrines of Grace, the Doctrines of Grace. It's the gospel. I know, I do reading. All it is the Doctrines of Grace. It's just truth, I love truth. Amen. Worship in the realm of truth, God says. But if it's only truth and no spirit to it, come to church, take a good bath of truth. Boy, that's truth. Doctrines of Grace this morning. That's that our church is really on. No, where is the in spirit, my dear Reformed brethren? Huh? Where is the spirit in the whole thing? The controlling of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit of God with man's spirit, the Spirit of God with my spirit as a believer based upon the Word of God. And God believing this Word, following this Word, what He says I will do. And I accept the New Testament as my regulatory principle. If it's New Testament, that's the way we're to worship. Not back here in the Old Testament. That was all shadows. The real principle is Christ, the book of Hebrews. I just get so upset that people worshiping God under the old covenant, doing all the old Jewish ways. Now, listen, don't you think there's Christians that do that? Yes, 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 yes. So I'm not saying that. But why don't they see Christ fulfilling all those things? Oh, I was thrilled to enjoy observing the Seder, the Passover. Oh, it was such a wonderful experience. Yeah, yeah. But Christ is the Passover. Christ. Talk about Jesus more and more. And then do it in the realm of the Spirit. And you know what? You can be joyous. When you listen to the prescription, you say, well, did Doc give you a prescription? Yeah, Doc gave me a prescription, yeah. How you feeling? I'm feeling better. Well, then, God's prescription supersedes all those that you so religiously follow. Follow His prescription. He said, I want you to worship. I'm looking for you. And He said, I want to see genuineness in your part. I want to see, as the Scripture says, a change in a life like this lady's change, who experienced receiving the living water, which comes to you everlasting life, knowing Christ, and then to really be concerned about the truth, the Word of God. I don't know. I hope you won't be as a young fellow said to me, your service is boring. Did he say that? Yeah. Something's wrong, my friend. If you do it in the Spirit and you do it in truth, then it's not boring. Well, housecomers know emotions. I'll tell you, when I hear the Word of God, I can sit on the edge of my chair sitting right there. And I look for the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. I don't say, well, I heard that. No, you're out of spirit. You're not in the realm of spirit if you judge things that, and like, I know everything. You don't know anything. You're a lost sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace. And people saved by grace need to confess their sins too. And it has to be a regular thing. And not only that, to confess them to before men, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's our task. To love him with a whole heart, mind, and deed. You think about it. You think about it. And if I'm wrong, you take the time and say, here you are, preacher. I'll show you what the Word of God says. I'll be waiting for you. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to the singing of this last hymn, to take time to be holy, may we see what you're seeking. May we see what the heavenly hosts, the angels, are seeking. That we worship you in the realm of spirit and in the realm of truth. And our Father, take our times and our thoughts this morning, these praises, may they speak to our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ receive the preeminence. In his name we pray. Amen. Will you sing with me this last hymn, please, before the benediction? It's 491. 491, take time to be holy. I told this lady, I said, you need to worship with people. Oh, Jesus calls us. Thank you, Bob. It's the right one. It's the one I want. Jesus calls us. Thank you. Yeah, it's the right one.
Jesus calls us.
The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message share recording from the pulpit of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. You are invited to join us in the assembly at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, off John Brady Drive, at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. every Lord's Day. For further information, call 570-435-2276 or email sgbc@localchurchpa.com. Check out our website at www.localchurchpa.com.